Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents.
Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest.
Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
I'm listening to the House of Annie.
Welcome to another episode of the House of Indie. My name is Joey Galvez, and this is the first one of 2022, and I've got some amazing creators on the show. I have Will Tempest and Jacob Free from Cities of Magic. How's it going, guys? Jacob, how are you doing, man?
Doing really good. I'm very excited to be here. It's very nice to be talking to you gents this morning. Well, morning for me.
Awesome. Yeah. And Will's calling from a wonderful place. How's it going, Will?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having us on. I'm excited to sort of talk through this, and I'm in Edinburgh, so it's afternoon for me. Just had lunch. So.
That's awesome. So first of all, tell me a little bit about this book. You guys have Cities of Magic coming out from Scout here in March, and I had the opportunity to read this. But if one of you guys can give us the quick synopsis of this book really quick, so that the people who don't know what the book is about can know.
The quick synopsis.
Go for it, Jacob.
So what I've been saying is that Cities of Magic is a future fantasy Western about one cowboy who does not like magic in a world of magic. And he gets involved in a giant magic war, which is never a good place for a person who doesn't like magic to be involved in.
So that's a great, great synopsis, man, because when I read it on like Previews World and all that stuff, and they say you got a gun-toting drifter who wanders through old York City. This is set in 150 years into the future, and everything that we know now is, you know, gone, and it's a relic of the old world. So tell me a little bit about how you guys kind of traveled this kind of world building universe together, especially you guys being so far away from each other.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think it sort of helped. I don't know how Will feels about this, but like, Will, have you ever been to New York?
I've never been to New York. So
okay, I'm glad you said that.
Although you see it so often in films and TV, I feel like I have been there, but one day.
I really do think like there's like this really interesting synthesis of like sensibilities going on, because I live in New York, but the place Will and I created doesn't look like it for the most part. Obviously, mm-hmm. Some buildings remain in our comic book, but I think coming at it from the futuristic perspective, the fantasy perspective, and also the fact that like Will is obviously drawing from a whole different geographical reality, mm-hmm. With obvious reference and stuff, like has made, I hope, the book look a lot more unique than it would have had it been me and perhaps someone else in New York doing it, mm-hmm. From what we see out the window. So I actually think it really helps the distance. I would be interested to hear what Will thinks, though.
No, I think I agree. And I think something that we talked about from the beginning was making sure this wasn't sort of the blown up wasteland, destroyed buildings and stuff. We really mm-hmm. wanted it to feel a bustling metropolis. It's overgrown, it's vibrant with life. And I think with that in mind, there are the landmarks there, of course, but a lot of the other stuff is essentially buried underneath so much more building on top of it. you know, houses on the sides of what would have been skyscrapers, you know, this sort of thing. Yeah,
it's a great way to put it. Mm-hmm. And I think this Statue of Liberty image on the cover of issue one, mm-hmm, is like a great sort of encapsulation, yeah, of that idea. You know, we thought, what will these places look like? Not only just 150 years from now. So obviously there's the degradation of the physical artifacts, but in a place where people now have the ability to do all this unbelievable magical stuff, what will they choose to live like? And so we, mm-hmm, thought about, like Will said, that houses, you know, spiraling up these magnificent structures and things like, you know, like clotheslines running from these places and, mm-hmm, and giant magic engines. And so I think, which is, you know, part of the reason why all of our covers for the series are not like action splash pages or anything. They're all snapshots of not just old York City, but different parts of the cities of magic, mm-hmm, buildings, subway stops, things like that. We really wanted to get into the idea of this is like not just an action story, but like almost like an anthropological examination of, mm-hmm, all the stuff. How are people,
yeah,
living?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it is the visuals in this book are amazing. The palettes that you guys work with are very, very like easy on the eyes, and it's got this almost like the sepia tones with some purples and some greens and blues. It's really gorgeous when you look at it, and it definitely is a really solid first issue. But I want to know how you guys, you know, came up with this story. Where were you guys drawing from?
So many damn places. I almost forget them now. I was thinking, not to digress too much, but I was thinking, I was looking at like my original email to Will the other day. I think it's like, what is that, like 4 years ago, maybe?
Yeah.
It's wild. So we've been working on this book for forever. Like I was in such a different, literally physically place when I started, mm-hmm, this, and now so much has happened. But I think initially, on my side of things, when it was just before I spoke to Will and I was just in my own head thinking about this kind of stuff, there were two ideas that were driving a lot of that early creation. And one was that I wanted to do a book, that was less just like Jake's weird ideas and more like something that other people might be interested in. So, you know, I was looking at a lot of what was successful on places like Kickstarter or in the indie scene, and seeing what people found to be like commercially viable. And I don't mean that cynically. I mean, like, what's interesting to people. And I thought, like, well, people love Westerns and people love fantasy stuff. So what if you just combine that? And that was really like the most basic version of it. But also I'm a huge, you know, Sergio Leone fan and Corbucci and Clint Eastwood and like all those, foundational Western stories. Just speak to me on like a very primal narrative level, like this guy wandering through a town and getting into trouble. And I thought, well, you know, like maybe that's your entryway into this. And then for me, like, you know, seeing Will's artwork before we started talking, before he was interested, I think having a partner who's able to, you know, bring some sort of reality to what you're describing helps, and then it inspires you to like really think about how things work. And Will came up with a lot of like the early ideas about like the mechanical aspect of how things worked that I was just like, oh my god, like, you know, thank you, because there's just, to me, it was just like, yeah, they're gonna shoot magic at people, but that again, that would be going back to like you've seen that a million times. So, mm-hmm, I think, you know, Will can talk us through a little bit more of like that aspect and certainly his influences, but for me, like, mm-hmm, having Will then bounce back some of that influence to me really, like, I also had, you know, trying to keep pace with Will is a challenge all of its own. So like, I really had to bring my A game, but yeah, it was Westerns. It was trying to like fuse two interesting, like, commercial ideas together, in a way that I could explain it to someone, like future fantasy Western guy who doesn't like magic. Bam. But yeah, that was where I was coming from in the beginning.
Will, I want to talk to you a little bit about the artwork here a little bit. I want to know the conversations. You guys talked a little bit about the conversations here between the two of you, discussing the artwork and how it's going to look. How do those conversations look? Because this is a very unique way to portray a story like this. And sometimes things can get lost in, you know, just in English language. You know, it's hard to portray these things, especially when you're not physically in front of each other. So how did you guys, you know, break that barrier, number one, and what were those conversations like?
I mean, I think we just had a good back and forth from the beginning. We took some time to, from Jacob giving me the initial sort of pitch or whatever, and it did just sort of click in my head that immediately I couldn't help but start thinking of, all right, well, where does so this magic, like how does this work then? You know, we want this to be a physical thing. There's got to be containers for it. There's got to be, you know, devices that use this thing. So we need to look in, you know, and we just started thinking about all these different avenues of just getting carried away, essentially. And I think that was just it. We just sort of, I'd do some sketches, send it over. Jacob would be like, yeah, this looks cool. You know, then you'd send me some ideas of, oh, what about if we did something, what would a unicorn look like in this world? Right. You know, and then I'd sort of draw that up and go, oh yeah, but I also drew like a Minotaur as well. Like, what do you think of this? So we just had, yeah, those first sort of month or so, something like that, of just sort of, yeah, just having fun with it really, and just going a bit crazy in this world we were figuring out.
You know, you have a drifter and he's obsessed with the analog, and everybody's got this, you know, this is a world of magic now and everything's kind of evolving and things are changing. You have magic engines and things of such. Jacob, you discussed about how you are a big, huge Clint Eastwood fan, and definitely this drifter very much reminds me of a Clint Eastwood kind of character, or you know, so this Lone Ranger kind of guy. So where's this direction going to be going here with this character?
Sure, yeah, that's a great question. So I think like this like pre-production process that Will was just talking about was really helpful for like all this world building we needed to do, because you know it's only 150 years. I mean, obviously a lot can happen in that time, but we really needed to figure out like what the status quo of this world was. Like, is there like a federal government still in the United, what used to be the United States? Like, do they have any foreign relations? Like that kind of thing. Like we said, what's the day to day? And it did become very complicated, because you know, we were thinking like, not just what did the city look like, but how do people actually use magic? And Will came up with this awesome idea, like, you know, like almost like hotkeys, like people would get tattoos of magic glyphs and to activate them, you know, they could input sort of different combinations and things like that, which is again, like another way we try to differentiate from classic depictions of magic. But as it grew and grew, like, you know, it occurred to me that perhaps like we needed a simple character to bring us into that world, who was, if not confused by it, at least wasn't part of it and could not overtly explain it to the reader, but say like, these guys are weird. Like, I don't like this. This stuff doesn't make sense. Or look at them sort of with a sort of disdain because of how decadent and lazy he thinks they've become, because now they could do everything with magic. So Lev, the drifter who is unnamed in the first issue, I'm a technical spoiler. it is the entry into that world. He doesn't want to have anything to do with magic, and he has built up in his mind this idealized past where people actually had to sort of work to get the benefit of their labor. You know, they actually had to do some mechanical action to yield some process, the result of some process. But he also doesn't really understand it because he's much too young. You know, he's in his mid-20s and we're talking about something 150 years beforehand. So he doesn't know what an iPhone is. He doesn't know what a computer or a tablet or an Xbox or Twitter or any of that stuff is. He might have read about it. He might have heard about it. He thinks, oh, wouldn't it be great to go on Twitter and talk, you know, talk about whatever bullshit is bothering you that day. So he doesn't know how terrible Twitter actually is. And that became a kind of joke. Like, he wants to wear graphic t-shirts and mm-hmm. he likes the idea of wearing jeans, but he can't even get his hands on them. So he comes into our story looking for essentially antiques. He's an antiquer. Lev is an antiquer. And I think, putting him into this really vast, complicated, magical conflict that goes back decades that he has, again, no understanding of, will be really interesting for his story. Because how is a person supposed to survive in that situation? He has a gun with six bullets in it, and these guys are able to create these massive, you know, hard light structures and swords and all sorts of really powerful magical stuff. What's a guy with a gun going to do in that situation? Of course, we had to come up with an answer because there's five issues of it. But but that really was like the hope that we could kind of enter into the world with a guy who wasn't an expert magician and who could kind of walk us through it a little bit.
Awesome. So we're going to take a quick little break here, but I want to talk a little bit. And number one, antiquing is like really dangerous, man. I don't know. It's dangerous.
Yeah, my partner is very much into old stuff and buying it in large quantities.
Yeah. Same here. I can get in trouble if I go antiquing with my wife. Yeah, it's pretty dangerous, and it's not her. It's usually me. I'm, and what's funny is when you go to those really cool spots, they usually have some really cool old school like reader copies of some like comic books. You're awesome. Like, yes, right? Okay.
Yeah. No, that's always great.
All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna go a little bit deeper into the creative process, because I need to know. You know, obviously you guys talked a little bit about this being almost 4 years in the making. So I want to know, you know, how many iterations that it went through from then till now that it's actually finally getting printed in through a publisher. So when we come back, we'll talk about that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we're back, and we're still here with Jacob Free and Will Tempest. They are the creative team on Cities of Magic that is out in March. What is it? March 1st? March 16th. And you guys can definitely go ahead and grab that. It is in pre-order now. I will drop all the links and all that good stuff in the show notes. But before we went on the break, I asked you a question about the creative process here. Let's go ahead and dive deep into this, man. So I need to know a little bit about that. This has been 4 years in the making, right? So how many different iterations did this go through?
That's a good question. I think, and you know, Will, correct me if I'm wrong. Like once we got through that pre-production phase, like we kind of, everything felt very final in terms of designs and who the characters were and stuff like that. In terms of like the physical artifact, that did actually wind up changing, not quite a bit, but there is a difference between the Kickstarter books and the Scout books. The Kickstarter books we kickstarted over the course of two different campaigns, issues 1 through 3. And we released issues 2 and 3 as a double size special. So it was like, you know, a pretty hefty magazine with those two issues in it. And it was kind of like, you know, it ends and then it picks right back up again. So it felt like a little bit more of like a bigger episode of the story. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, like, I think we were cognizant of the fact that we were asking certain people to buy the book again, which is obviously a tough sell, especially now, you know, now comics aren't like the cheapest things in the world. So we wanted to make sure that there was something there, for people who had already got the book to get again. So the biggest thing, I think, is the biggest difference and the coolest difference, and what something I've always wanted to be a part of, is having backup stories in the issues. And Will wrote all of those. I had nothing to do with those stories. Like, Will came up with these awesome, like, again, snapshots of the world, and he could talk about them a little bit more. And then we worked with these like incredible artists to do these 2 or 3 or 4 page episodes in the back of the book. So,
oh, cool.
Everything, that stuff is all new. And we have a bunch of new back matter that, comes from a lot of the different rewards from our Kickstarter books. And Will and I also did a guidebook that was kind of like, we imagine what they hand out to like the guy coming to Old York City for the first time. Like, this is what you need to know. Which, Joey, I think I sent it to you, right? I sent that to you.
Yeah, I think I saw a couple of things. There is one piece at the end of the book that I'm looking at, and it has like some spells and stuff.
Yeah.
So we also had people develop their own spells. So in many ways, like, besides Will and I, as you know, just I wouldn't even call us the sole creators at this point, because we actually like crowdfunded not just the making of the book, but like the content of the book. And for the double size special, we had people come up with their own magicians as well.
Oh, that's so cool.
We put those in the back of the book, and those will be in the scout issues as well. But then Will actually drew them as characters in the story in the final, the 4th and 5th issue. So like, we really open this up to the world.
Yeah.
And the scout issues have all of that, plus the backups, and Will remastered a lot of his pages for print. And Andrea, our editor at Scout, you know, did a lot of gave it the old once over. So like, there were some spelling errors in that first version, and we've gotten rid of those and tightened up a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I you know, there's probably stuff I didn't see Will do from then to now that wound up in there too. So this is like the, I don't want to call it the director's cut, because that makes it sound like, you know, a little arrogant, but that's more or less what this is.
I love that. Will, can you elaborate a little bit on some of that stuff that you wrote there, because that's really interesting, and I didn't know that.
Yeah. We were just talking about like, what could we, you know, offer, and again it was something that we've been speaking about anyway, of where could this go, what, you know, because it's just, we could do anything. We've set this thing up, there's so many different avenues we could go down, and we just, yeah, Jacob was like, you know, what do you think about doing some shorts for, you know, the scout release, and yeah, I was like, yeah, I'll get writing those for sure. I've already, you know, and I know, because I already had just been thinking about, oh, what about this? What about this? What's Central Park look like? You know, this sort of stuff. So it was just an opportunity to take a little glimpse at other aspects of the world, other aspects of New York, and how that looks in the world we've made. So there's sort of varying lengths, but what was the long? How long was the longest one?
The longest one is 4 pages, and that is the one by Tristan Wright, which is an absolutely insane looking comic. He really, everyone knocked it out of the park. But you know, when you have 4 pages to spend on it, you can really see all the details.
And that's the, and this was the first time as well that I've written for another artist, so. I had to send them to Jacob to make them readable, to interpret my scrawlings into an actual script.
Really, really cool stuff. So do you guys have any plans to take those side stories and maybe run with them a little bit?
I think what we said from the beginning was, you know, this story is obviously self-contained, but to Will's point, you could do anything in the mm-hmm. Cities of Magic world, right? You mm-hmm. could go anywhere. And I've often fantasized about like sort of flipping the dynamic. I made Will, you know, participate in this story about where I live. I think if we ever do a sequel, it should go across the pond. I think that would only be cool. Fair.
Yeah.
And yeah, it'd be great. It would be really cool. But that's the kind of thing we could do. Like mm-hmm. we could do one in Edinburgh. We can do one in Tokyo. We could do one in Patagonia. We could do one in Antarctica. Like we mm-hmm. could go literally anywhere, maybe except for space. But actually, we could go to space. I won't say any more about that.
That would be cool idea, man.
Yeah, exactly. But, so what we always said was, you know, it took a lot of time and effort and work. To get here, let's put it out and see how people react to it. Mm-hmm. If they love it, that's the conversation. Then and if it makes money, Will and I will have, you know, and see where we can go from there. And if it doesn't, I do think it will stand on its own always, mm-hmm. and that would be great. But yeah, that, you know, in terms of narrative, it can go anywhere, but format as well. Like we did a 5-issue series, but there's no reason why we couldn't do a 24-page one shot or a 60-page novella, or mm-hmm. you know, like all these different yeah. ways you can examine it. So there's a lot of different entryways back into it if you wanted to, but I think it will depend on like the reaction, mm-hmm. Certainly for the in the direct market, and then we'll see what happens when it's in bookstores and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Super cool. I'm really excited about this. And I feel like this is going to be a big hit once it hits the shelves, guys, because lots of people are already talking about it. And just from looking at the covers alone, people are like freaking out about it. And I've been since I was able to read it super early, the benefits of working for the publisher that you guys are working for, but I was able to read an early version of it, and it's awesome. So, and I've been really, really, you know, pumped up about it, and I've been pushing it out there for everybody to kind of talk about. And the people that I've been talking to have been reading some of the stuff. I was able to talk to you, Jacob, a few days back, and I published that, and people accepted. It was a really good feedback. So I'm anticipating this being a really good book here. I'm
that
really excited.
Very good.
Yeah,
I'm excited about it.
That's great.
If anything, you guys got one huge fan here. I'm definitely going to be putting this one in my pull list. For those who want to put it in your pull list, if you guys are ordering from Previews, it is JAN221621, and from Lunar, it is 0122SC, as in Scout SC 216. All right, so you guys make sure you get that in your pull list. Make sure you tell your LCS to grab it, because this one's awesome. Thank you, Jacob and Will. Please, Jacob, will you please let everybody know where they can find you?
Yes. Okay, I am on Twitter, Jacob_free. That's Jacob with a K. My website is www.jacobfree.com. And those are the two spots. I'll be, you know, keeping everybody apprised of Scout news on there as well. And yeah, I look forward to speaking to more people.
All right. And Will, where can they find you?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram, and I can't remember what my handles are on there. But if you go to willtempest.com, there's links to them from there.
Awesome. I think if you just do the correct spelling of both your names, you guys should pop up. Yes. So
yeah,
that should work, I think.
Yeah. awesome. Thank you guys again for doing this and hanging out with me, talking about Cities of Magic, out March 16th, coming out from Scout. You guys make sure you get that in your pull list.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm ready for the whole thing, man. I can't even wait till March. Like, that's, I'm so upset at myself that I was able to read this early, because I want more.
That means a lot. We really appreciate it. Thank you for having us on, and thank you for the enthusiasm, for sure.
Thank you. You're welcome. You're absolutely welcome. And thank you guys for listening to the House of Indie right here on the Geek Collective and Age Radio Network. We'll see you guys next time.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Joey Galvez. I want to tell you guys a little bit about the Department of MetaHuman Affairs. This one is a story about a team led by a retired sidekick, two felons, a failed actor from Broadway, and a reprogrammed cyborg. But their first mission is to stop the criminals who have robbed a bank, and they will have to set the world at ease. You're going to get 180 pages of entertainment, action-packed awesomeness right here in the first six issues in a collected hardcover volume one. All you got to do is head on over to Kickstarter.com and type in the Department of MetaHuman Affairs or DMA and check it out right now.